because this is the first time you're going to be blessed with a Sunday or Saturday evening sermon. As you can tell in your bulletin, I had planned to preach on something else, but I changed direction. So we prayed and we sang. We sang Trust and Obey a lot that summer. And we were headed off to Kansas City to find a job and to get a Master's of Divinity. A little over a year later, we were headed to Council Grove, having not finished a Master's of Divinity and having not found a job. Having spent a year on campus, and I would have to complete a Master's of Arts in Theological Studies online while I worked at Council Grove. In Council Grove at Rex Materials. Had God not led us to Kansas City and to seminary? After I finished my Master's of Theological Studies, I was blessed to pastor a church in McFarland, Kansas, Mill Creek Baptist Church. After 2 years of bivocational ministry, God had chosen and God had moved, and I was simply overwhelmed and unable to continue with my plan. My plan being the reality that surely God needs an engineer and a pastor. A lot of churches can't afford a full-time pastor, and I could do both. But the reality was I couldn't. Had God not guided me to that situation? Had God not provided me the skills and abilities to be an engineer and... Yesterday was a beautiful day. We enjoyed it. I was blessed to spend my morning working with Jonathan on my project across the street. And in the afternoon, Kelly was on her phone with her friend from Kansas City and made this comment. I'm not even sure how many people are here right now as she was walking around our property. See, we had been blessed with the Jordans at our house as Andrea went to run an errand in Salina. And also, the Kiever boys had come over. So there were a total of 15 children running around. And at some points, Jonathan was there. Sometimes I was there. I had spent the morning helping Jonathan and working with him. And now our home was over on 3.5 acres, was swarming with kids running in the sun, laughing, screaming, fighting. It was everything we had hoped for and prayed for our home and its location. After 8 years of pastoring and living in the fruit was looking good. Why would God now move us? Why would God let us? Why would God have this and take it from us? To the point, how do you understand the nature of blessing? I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be there a little bit, even as I'm going to be all over the text today, but we will keep a finger in Genesis chapter 12 area. In Genesis chapter 12, we are now being introduced to Abram. As he is called out of Babylon, Ur of the Chaldeans, he is called and he starts on his way. He goes to Haran. There he is blessed. And his family grows. It grows and it grows. And then his father dies. And he is called to go further and to come to the promised land. He finally gets to the promised land. And then we get verse 10, which is what I'll be reading. Now there was famine in the land. Sorry, this is Genesis 12:10. Now there was famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. He just got there, right? He had just come to the land of promise. He'd just gotten God's promise that he would provide for him an heir. And that heir would grow and offspring would be given to fill the land. And he'd built an altar at Ai and put his tent at Bethel. And yet, God had allowed famine to strike this wonderful land. and press and push him so that to preserve and to his family and to survive, he would have to go down to Egypt. He would have to leave the blessing. And this gets me to hoarders. They hold on to everything that has ever blessed them, never wanting to let it go. The problem is you can't hoard a blessing. One of the blessings as we were that I've had this last year is I got to talk with Sheriff Florence. It was his grandparents' house that we are tearing down right now. And talking to him, he said it was an amazing place to spend a sick day. Watching Bob and The Price is Right and going outside. And apparently there was a little merry-go-round that he could be on and go around as the train would go by. What a great blessing that he enjoyed. It was a great blessing that was falling apart now and was now a danger around it. As we would clean it out, we would come across pictures, lots of pictures, of wonderful times, great blessings that a family had enjoyed, times they wanted to hold on to and remember. We came across clothing that had clothed and kept someone warm. Toys that I remember playing with. Obviously not that one. But oh my goodness, toys from when I was a kid. We came across engine parts of projects of a man that needed someplace to put his project and the fun he'd have. All of it reduced to a pile of decaying rot, covered in cat feces, a mouse house, literally as baby mice would scurry out as I'd throw the rot into the buckets. It'd be insulation for rats to keep them warm as we'd tear the roof down and the feces would fall. They held on to their blessings. And held on to their blessings, and held on to their blessings. And guess what? They weren't blessings. Their blessings had become curses. Ananias and Sapphira are the same. We aren't going to go there, but if you remember the story in Acts chapter 5, the church is thriving, and they want to be a blessing. And so they sell some land, and they hold on to a little bit. And they give the rest, pretend it's all, but they want to hold on to a little bit of this blessing. And guess what? Holding on to that little bit of blessing cost them their lives. They would never be blessed by it again. As they'd hoard the blessing, as they would require, no, this blessing is mine and for me and for my good, and it has blessed me greatly, and I can never let it go. The blessing had become a curse to them as opposed to a joy for all. The hoarder of blessing does not trust God and does not know his strength, his ability, or his love. If you remember the blessing that Sarah was promised, she heard that her husband would have offspring. She heard that he would have offspring that would be the blessing of all the world. And she heard that, and then after time she says, the Lord has kept me from bearing children. Genesis 16:2. The Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. Which servant do you think she picked? Do you think she picked a servant she hated? Do you think she picked a servant that she really didn't care for one way or the other? I bet she picked her favorite servant, don't you? Favorite servant that was at a good age. Because she wanted the blessing. She wanted to hold on to, that was going to be my blessing. I don't trust that God's going to do it. And therefore, I need this blessing. And therefore, I'll bless my servant. and my husband, she would think, so that she could hoard the blessing and be the one that had the child and be there when the child was raised. And what happened to her and Hagar after that? Ruined. The blessing that was a relationship, I assume, was destroyed. Why? Because she had to be the one that was blessed. She had to be the one. She did not trust that God would be able to do these things. She thought she could see the future, and she knew the limits of God's power. The way of women had passed from her. There was no hope. Hagar would become a curse to her mistress, and her children would become a curse to the people of God. It's amazing what happens when you try to hold on to blessings longer than you should. They rot in your hand and before you and become curses. You cannot hoard a blessing and trust God at the same time. When we were sitting down with a roommate from college. Him and his wife had two children, and I forget, is it Cyrillac that the Baldridges had, Kelly? Celiac? Or they had, and there were a few other things, that the genetic issues, and they decided they shouldn't have more children. And they were trying to decide if they wanted to foster. And we're sitting across from them and talking about Trace and Vivian, the first two that we got to be blessed with for 2 years, and then they had to leave. They had a 2-year-old son at the time, and if there's one thing I am, it's kind of blunt and a little hard sometimes. And I asked them this question: if their son died, would they be sorry they ever had him? That's the question of foster care. People would say, "Oh, I just couldn't let them go." If you have a child and they die, are you going to ever think, "Oh, I wish I'd have never had it. It hurts too bad." No. You'll love every minute you had. Enjoyed the blessings, the laughter, the crying, all of those things. Instead, a lot of people will say, "I couldn't handle the pain of loss, and therefore I never want the blessing." What a foolish thing. The blessing has to be let go sometimes. Or else it's never a blessing at all. And if you choose not to, you're only hurt, never to foster again, never to help again, never to see the joy of having children come into your home and grow again. See, blessings are not gold to be hoarded like dragons. Psalm 23 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." How are blessings portrayed? As a meal to be shared by God. As a cup that overflows. As oil that comes down on your head. When we had our Suburban, we had someone, he had to fix it, and he fixed it, and now it started leaking oil. Just a little bit. But it looked terrible on the ground. Because there's something about oil, right? You notice this if you ever have an oil leak. It doesn't have to be much before it covers everything. Is it interesting that blessings are compared to oil flowing down? But have you ever tried to hold on to oil? It's slippery stuff. Blessings can't be hoarded. They have to be enjoyed. Have you ever held a cup so full you kind of see the arch of the tension, right? As you can see the bubble over the rim, and then you try walking with it, and it just goes everywhere. That's a cup that overflows. These are the biblical examples of what blessings are. Why then does a woman hold on to every scrap of paper her children ever give her? Getting 3 or 4 storage units and basements full. Is it because she thinks that God will never bless her again with those things? She doesn't trust that she'll have better blessings at God's hand later? quite simply, the hoarder does not trust God's grace in the future. God's economy will not work for a hoarder. If you don't know what God's economy is, when we go to the Men to the Mountains this year, I love how the pastor there tells the story of setting it up. The reality is that institution can't afford to have 10 to 12 men come out and spend 3 or 4 days working on their facility. The other reality is those 10 to 12 men, full grown, it'll be about 24 with the 12 more boys, could not afford to go to a mountain retreat and have a conference. But by God's economy, both get what they need and what they cannot afford, because neither is holding on to their labor or their facility so tightly. They trust that God's economy will work. You cannot do that if you hoard and say, my blessings are mine and mine only, and I will not let anyone else have them, and God will not bless me in the future, so I must hold on to them as tightly as I can. The hoarder trusts the lie that God has only so many blessings for them, and they must hold them tightly or lose them forever. That is simply not the nature of God's blessing for us. Amen? The nostalgic, Genesis 19, verse 26. And the Lord said, that's 18. One more page. 19, 26. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Why did Lot's wife die? Plain and simple, she had been blessed in Sodom. She'd seen her children grow. She'd had two beautiful daughters. She'd enjoyed the blessing of the time in the city. She'd enjoyed the favor of her husband. And as she was walking away, she had to look back at the blessings that had been, at the joy that she had enjoyed, at the pleasures she had had. So busy was she with what she had been blessed with, she lost the blessing that she had been given. She had been given the blessing of life with her husband and her two daughters going out to enjoy life somewhere else. But she was so busy clutching and holding on to what had been that she would lose that. She would lose the blessing of life that she had gained through her husband's righteousness. And she would also lose, and it's so disgusting, stricken grief into her family. Her husband would be stricken by grief, find himself in drunken stupors, and his daughters would come. They would be ripe. He would be ripe for his daughter's plans, because she would not let the blessing of what she had had simply be the blessing and enjoy the blessing and the memories. But she had to have one last look. Numbers 11:5. As the people came out of Egypt, they said, "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic." Oh, forget the slavery. Forget the forced abortions. We had all these fun things. It was great. We remember them. We should go back. That is what the nostalgic are. Not enjoying what was. Amen. It was great. It was fun. It was bad too. See, many of us find ourselves either the hoarder or the nostalgic. I personally struggle with nostalgia. And it's sin. I remember engineering and pastoring in Council Grove and how much fun it was. All those good times. I have to be forced to remember how overwhelmed I was as well. It's easy to do these things. But it is sin nonetheless to hold on and hoard your blessing. And it is also sin to look back on that blessing and think that it never will be again. You'll lose sight of the blessings you are going to have, the joy that is going to come your way. Is God's blessing gone? Have you thought of that? Just because this thing is gone? When did God's blessing leave the people of Israel? It wasn't when they had hard times in the desert. God's blessing was upon them to the point that even their enemies had to bless them. Remember? As Balak would hire Balaam, Balaam would come and pronounce blessing on them over and over. Killed a lot of animals too. And he just couldn't curse them. That's how great their blessing from God was. And then they had to be convinced to start taking things that weren't theirs. And then they would lose God's blessing, lose his protection, and they would fall and falter over and over and over. Not because they didn't hold on to the manna, or not because they didn't enjoy the blessing of water from the rock, but because they had fallen from grace and had stopped following the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. My favorite book in the Bible is the book of Ruth. I don't know if that's surprising. That's why Naomi is Naomi. Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 says this: "In the days when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons," his two strapping young boys. "And they would go and they would find food and they would survive. And then dad dies. And then his sons get wives. And Naomi is excited to become a grandmother. And then her sons die. As blessings are taken from her, she hears there's bread back in Bethlehem and she goes home. And one of her daughters goes with her, right? She's so convinced of the lack of blessing that she thinks her name should be Mara, because God has made life bitter for her. I love that story. She's so nostalgic and so open with her frustration and her pain. And yet by the end of the story, God's blessing in sending her to Moab was that she would be given a daughter-in-law of more worth than seven sons, we are told. A blessing so great that she is now mentioned in the line of Christ. She had been given a blessing of a good husband and two great boys. If she had always persisted in holding on to them and not seeing that Ruth had been given and gotten much more in one harvest for some unknown reason than she was supposed to, right? Like, where'd you get all this? You shouldn't have been able to get this today. And then she sees light for her Redeemer, for her daughter-in-law. I love that. I love it also because of Boaz. As Boaz has been given a great blessing and he has a great land, right? And he has servants and he has all of these things. But he's not the closest redeemer. There is another man. And why do I love this story? Because that's all we know about the other man. For the person that wants to hold on to his inheritance, he won't marry Ruth. Why won't he marry Ruth? Because I might jeopardize my own inheritance, my own line, is what we are told. He's so worried about the blessing of his own house that he fails to enter the house of Christ, the lineage of Christ. How about that? Have you thought about it? Are you so busy holding on that you fail? See, you have to rejoice in our blessings. Why did God do this? Why did God allow famine? Why did God allow hope to spring only to have death reign in her life? Why does God allow us to enjoy blessings for a time only to take them away? And the plain truth of the matter is, I don't know. My wife and I, we did prayer walks, walking our property over and over, praying, God, is this really what the right direction for us to go? Is this what you would have for us? Why did God let us buy that property if we were just going to lose it? Am I going to lose a blessing that I should have and I should just hold tightly on to things? Never let them go? Be so scared? Can you quantify the blessings that you receive? Over the last year that we have owned that property, or almost a year, I've been blessed to work some with my kids. My kids have been blessed to knock down some walls, to see the dangers of hoarding. They've enjoyed driving a little yard tractor around the property as a go-kart, giggling as they bounce around in the trailer that's behind it. Sometimes it dumps them out. Sometimes they take corners too sharp, and it turns in, it dumps out, and it goes sideways on them. I've been blessed. Do I know the blessing that a trailer will be to my neighbor that he has now? I don't. Isn't that the prayer, though? We pray that what we do will be a blessing. Can you quantify the end and the extent of that blessing for the time that you have? Even as I mourn the loss, as I had to knock down that skeleton of a shell of a home the other day, and the dreams that I had put into it, and the work that had gone into it already, the plans I had for it, and the literally the house plans I'd made to restore it, and it would fall down, and we would be sad. But the question then is, do you work merely for your own blessing? When you see a blessing, do you think, oh, it must be mine? Or can a blessing that you work on be for someone else? Are we prepared to be the blessing someone else needs? Even if that blessing is a lot of work for you. To clean up a property, to work on something else. I don't know how much my children have been blessed, but I know I have been greatly blessed to watch them play across the street. I don't know what the end of that property is going to be, but I know it's going to be better off not having a trailer on it and a fallen down rat nest. Our blessing is Christ. And we enjoy his favor as the oil, as our cup overflows, and as our head is anointed. And we share it with those around us. See, the blessing of Ezekiel 34, when God is castigating his shepherds because they take the blessing of the flock for themselves and do not feed the flock. That's what he's talking about there. You do this all for yourself and you don't care for the flock. See, the blessing of pastoring is that I get to be a conduit of biblical insight, not a cistern that you can come to and dip in. But it's supposed to flow. And that's the same of every blessing in your life. The blessings you receive are not meant for merely you, but for others as well. Because you're God's steward of something. Of all the blessings you have, you are a steward. And that stewardship might end and need to start with someone else at this time. Or at that time. Or at least in the future. You cannot hoard the blessings. You enjoy them while God allows you to steward them. We have to let the blessing flow that our cup might overflow. If you stop letting it flow, then you stop getting blessings. And those blessings rot and become curses. What is God planned for my life? I have no clue. We may have to move. We may be allowed to stay. God may provide us with an engineering job 25 miles away. And now we can stay, but I won't be able to give you all that is needed as a pastor. He may move us, and I still have to be an engineer somewhere else. He might move us, and God provide that I might be a pastor still and preach for God's glory somewhere else. I attempt to plan my way, as the passage says. But we recognize that whatever the plan is, God moves and places your steps and mine where He would have us. We let the blessings come and we let them go because they are God's blessings for us for a time. Every blessing is but for a time. And everyone that has had a child knows that. Amen. You can't hold on to a 2-year-old. They grow to be 3. And they grow to be 4. And it's a blessing every step of the way, amen. And even at 18, when they go out, it's still a blessing that you are loved and enjoyed the whole time. And by God's grace, you might enjoy other things later. But such are all of your blessings, whether it be a church, whether it be a piece of property, whether it be a car, whether it be your children, your grandchildren, they are blessings that we enjoy in the time that we are given, as they overflow from generation to generation. I plan my way, but the nature of blessing is that it is an overflowing cup to be used, enjoyed, and shared. Psalm 37:23 goes along with that. It says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." We keep walking, planning for the glory of God and whatever those steps might come. I don't know why God has chosen or moved or how long it will be before I am allowed a job at a different place or how long I'll stay here and keep preaching until that point. But we plan our way and we do what God desires. And we rejoice in these things because they're good in and of themselves. If you are not doing things that you know are going to be good and a blessing, whether you get to finish them or not, you shouldn't be doing them. I'll end on the words of Martin Luther. He says this, "Even if I knew tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." Even if I knew tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. Amen. Let's give God glory in these things. Let's pray. Father, I thank you.